Ready to roll?
Yes.
All right, it has reached the bewitching hour. Let me bring the study session of the Water Utility Commission to order. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hitt? Commissioner Hollinsworth?
Here.
Commissioner McMillan?
Here.
Commissioner Milkey? Vice Chair Mayor?
Here.
Chair Hurd?
Here. All right, thank you. Unusual for this commission, but nonetheless, we do have a speaker, Mr. John Eisenberg. And Mr. Eisenberg, normally the issues that you can present are whatever you wish at this stage. However, please limit your comments to 3 minutes, if at all possible. Mr. Eisenberg?
That's never possible, but I'll definitely try. Hi, my name is John Eisenberger. I'm a resident of Oro County, or Oro Valley City, town. I've been studying the water utilities finances for almost 3 years, and I'd like to talk to you about some specifics right now. First off, just so I know how deep I need to go into this, does everybody here know about the American Water Works Association's cash needs approach? If you please raise your hand if you understand the American Water Works Association cash needs approach. Okay, then we'll go over that. In the first page of the rate reports, it says that the rates are based upon the American Water Works Association's rates or cash needs approach. You can't do the rate sheets without using the American Water Works Association guidelines. That's, if you don't use them, you're in violation of both city covenants and the bond covenants. In which case, if you don't follow them, you're violating SEC because you're violating bond covenants. That is stated very clearly in your rate reports on the very first page of your writings. If we compare, and in that, it says that revenues must equal expenses. That's a given. And in fact, in the rate reports, it even defines revenue requirements as expenses. You know, that's in your rate reports. If we look at the rate reports going back to 2010, and that's the third page of what I gave you, you'll see that for most of that time, revenues range from $1.5 million to $1.8 million. But expenses were only in the $800,000 to $900,000 range. If you add that up, you know, the water department's been stealing about $7 million during that time period from the reclaimed water users. Yeah. You, if the reclaimed water expenses are $1 million, you have to charge $1 million for reclaimed water. That's in your reports. That's a requirement of the rate reports. You haven't done that. You know, you've been violating your own covenants. You know, then about 4 years ago, a miracle happened. Reclaimed water expenses jumped about $600,000 instantly, overnight. No explanation, just magic. It happened. You know, how did this happen? Somebody decided, oh, let's increase, you know, the expenses so that we cover up that we've been overcharging, you know, for the last one or two decades. You know, and so what they do, instead of using what the real payroll is for reclaimed water, they fabricated an allocation method based upon water sales, the percentage of reclaimed water sales versus the percentage of drinking water sales. Well, yeah, I complained about that and proved that water volume has absolutely nothing to do with payroll.
I apologize about
overreading. Okay. Are you interested in hearing about this?
We have your written report.
Okay.
Correct. So.
Well, last time you had my written report also, and you did absolutely nothing when I reported that Oro Valley's, you know, water price or reclaimed was 15 times higher than the second lowest in the state, two to three times higher than the average price in the state, and among the highest in the state. And you guys took it as a joke. You laughed and you giggled and you chortled and you said that, you know, reclaimed customers could go buy their water from Mars, they could buy it from the moon. If they didn't like the reclaimed price, they could buy drinking water and use it. So, yeah,
we'll see
if you take this professionally and responsibly.
Thank you, sir. Moving further into the agenda. Discussion regarding the Kai Farms Groundwater Savings Facility Tour.
Thank you, Chair Hertz. So, thank you, commissioners, for attending the trip today. Today we went to see the Kai Farms, they have a pecan farm, and as well as the cotton. And one of the things about Kai Farms is what we call a groundwater savings facility. And we have two types of storage facilities. We have underground storage facilities, or USFs, and those are like Lower Santa Cruz or Tucson Waters, CAFSARP, SAFSARP, Puna Mine Road, and that's where you have the recharge basins and you take your, well, in this case, CAP water, and you recharge the aquifer, you can recover that water or leave it and accrue long-term storage credits. How that's different from a groundwater savings facility or a GSF is it's considered in lieu of water, in lieu of agriculture pumping groundwater. We have an agreement with Kai Farms where they use a portion of our CAP water, and in exchange, we get the same amount of their groundwater in return if we are to use it or need it. One of the advantages of a GSF is for both a USF and a GSF, we have to give a 5% cut to the aquifer. If we leave the water there over a year, 5% of the water that we in a USF store there, anything in a GSF, it stays, you know, so we put 100 acre feet in both the USF and the GSF, at the end of the, or a year later, we can only recover 95 acre feet. But the advantage of a GSF is we don't have to pay an evaporation penalty with a USF. So a USF, that same 100 acre feet, not only do you use the 5% cut to the aquifer, but you have evaporation loss, which can range from, you know, 1% to 5% a year. So the GSFs have the advantage of we can accrue more long-term storage credits. So in Oro Valley, we store 4,000 acre feet at Kai Farms, the GSF, and we should do that as we can accrue more long-term storage credits. So we have to see, you know, the CAP canal ran through the middle of Kai Farms. We got to see how they pump that water from the canal to irrigate their crops, and we got to see their operation. And here's some of the concerns that you know, Kai Farms has with future CAP supplies and that sort of thing. It's good to note that Kai Farms does have agreements not only with Oro Valley but also with Metro Water, Tucson Water, and I don't know if it was Salvador or whatever, but another agency that has a CAP allocation. So thank you for coming. I'd be happy to answer any questions or if there's any comments with respect to what the commissioners saw today. I hope it gave context to things we talk about throughout the year with this commission body. I hope it helped get the commissioners have a better understanding of GSFs and how they fit into the management of our water resource portfolio.
Peter, I have one question, and it's more geographical than anything else. What we saw at Kai Farms, we were on the east side of I-10. Previously, the previous, not last year, because we didn't build last year, but the previous field adventure was also at a version of Kai Farms, I assume, Marana.
It was at USF. That was Lower Santa Cruz.
Where does the CAP go across or under I-10?
I don't know the exact location, but...
But it obviously does, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then and when we went to those USFs, the CAP canal was far enough away that the piping, the transmission of that water to those recharge basins is a buried pipeline. It's not an open canal, so...
Yeah. I was just curious. Because I-10, because now with Northwest Recharge, we're coming back across I-10 again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Engineering fees, what can I say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question. So what are the trade-offs for Kai Farms as far as using Colorado River water versus groundwater? What do they have to deal with?
Nothing. They go strictly right from the canal to irrigating crops. There's no, in terms of treatment.
Well, they obviously they're doing that to save pumping costs, right? So, but do they have to use more water because they need to flush the higher TDS down more or the higher salt content?
What they said is they said
like that.
You know, during crop rotations, they'll rip the soil. I don't remember, 24 to 36 inches. But other than that, there was. Mr. Kai did not mention any particular treatment process to rehabilitate the soil other than crop rotation.
Okay. So he gets the advantage of electrical costs that he doesn't have to pay for pumping groundwater.
Yeah, and you know, hopefully his farm will be sustainable intergenerationally by using other sources of supply other than groundwater. One of the things they talked about was before they purchased the farm from a private entity, the groundwater levels had declined to the point where it was prohibitive to even do agriculture there because of the pumping costs. Mm-hmm. That since they've been using CAP water, the groundwater level there has, you know, recovered to the point where I think the depth to water was like 250 feet, mm-hmm. which is... That's not very far.
No.
You know, so and that's encouraging that the aquifer it rebounded and recovered. So the advantage is to them, yes, there's less pumping costs and there's also sustainability of the farm.
Hmm. How long have they been doing this?
Since 1990.
Yeah, I think it was 86, I can't remember, when they bought it from the private entity.
I think they bought it in the early 90s, he said.
Okay,
you got it.
90?
Early middle 90s.
Yeah, they bought it from a private company that I don't remember the exact year. But
I think it would have been in the
90s. Yeah. Our 80s would be too early.
And the canal's already built through the property.
Yeah.
I know you've probably told us this several times in the past, but I can't remember. So we have an annual agreement with Kai Farms. It has to be renewed yearly.
Yes.
And is there a reason we do it just annually versus a multi-year agreement? Do we have to renegotiate the price every time we renew the contract?
So the IGA drives the renewal period. The original intergovernmental agreement stipulates that we would enter into a negotiation every year. As far as you know, the price. Us and other water service providers have held it at the same price that we pay, that we would pay to recharge at other facilities. So we pay $16 an acre foot to recharge at, at Tucson Water's facilities, and that's the rate we charge Kai Farms, as well as the other CAP allocation holders charge the same also. You know, it's something that We generated, you know, some revenue from that. But more importantly, you know, it keeps the region sustainable for all these different industries. And it's an advantage for us, too.
I just wanted to follow up on the question that Byron asked about the survivability of the agreements that allow us to transport water, should we want to take that water. I think it's a matter of low priority, but I always think that was a great visit, and clearly the town has a great relationship with Mr. Kai and that particular farm. But it always makes me think, like, oh God, you know, what happens if this turns into wet dynamite? So anyway, we should probably think about what happens in the event of a sale, and if the land isn't used post sale for agriculture, if there's any impacts or not. And I don't think it's anything you need to drop other things to do, but we should start to look into that just in case.
Well, unfortunately, you know, let's just say that the doomsday scenario is, you know, a hostile land takeover or something. You know, through the state, those water credits, those long-term storage credits are us. So let's just say doomsday scenario, something came along that made it prohibitive for us to recover the wet water. We still have a need for transferring credits or paper water.
Right.
So, I mean, we, you know, during a doomsday scenario, we still have access to that account. But a great question. You know, I've never come across anything that addresses, you know, if there's a sale of the land, you know, what do we do about the infrastructure required to recover that water, put it back in the canal? So it's a great question.
Well, you said an interesting thing right when we got off the bus, that decisions made by the commission 20 years ago really put the commission today in a great spot, so we should probably just continue to do that.
Yeah.
Just
in case. No, there was some real progressive forward thinkers, and this goes back, you know, to the 70s and for sure the 80s, where the desert community was growing, and it was quickly growing to something that was be unsustainable on groundwater alone. And some smart folks came up with some very creative ways of managing resources. And, and we're standing on the shoulders of the giants. And yeah, it's our turn. Is what's the next step?
Exactly.
Okay. Other questions?
Well, for myself, Peter, you know, well done. I learned some interesting stuff, and some stuff that, you know, I had not thought of before, and regardless of whether or not you think you're standing on the shoulders of other people, you've done well.
Thank you. It's just our turn to carry the ball to the next yard for
us. Exactly. Exactly. All right. No other questions?
No.
We studied this?
Yes.
All right. Fair enough. The favorite part of the agenda, as far as I'm concerned, adjournment. All right. Motion to adjourn.
I motion to adjourn.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Byron. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. We're adjourned. 1:19.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.